Welcome back, friends, to another edition of the Amber May Show. Today, I am so excited to introduce to you Senator Shamp. She's an Arizona state senator, and she introduced a wonderful medical freedom bill in this session. And so we're going to get into the medical freedom bill that she introduced. And also, there is an upcoming event that's massive that will be so good for all of us. And that's coming up on the show. We're going to talk about this event that's going to be a dual event with congressmen and state legislators and doctors. And all. So we're talking about that today on the show. Now, I talked about the Geneva Convention. I meant the Nuremberg Code. So when you hear that, just remember I'm at Nuremberg. So just keep that in mind. But hey, I want you to like, share, and subscribe far and wide. Please do that. That helps support the show. If you believe in what I'm doing, consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you think you could do. And that would be so helpful for me. And while you're there, go check out the merch page. I have some awesome shirts and cups. I'd love you to check that out. And or you can become a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com and becoming a $5 monthly subscriber there. So join me on Telegram because I always add more content to Telegram. And you can find me at The Amber May Show there. I'm on True Social, Amber May, Frank Social, Amber May. I just joined Clout Hub. So you can join me at all those places. I'd love to carry on the conversation with you over there. One quick announcement before I get Senator Shamp on. There is a recall effort taking place against Maricopa County Board of Supervisors Bill Gates. If you want to be involved in the recall, many hands under the load light, go ahead to my website, theambermayshow.com. Click the contact button and then write me there and I will put you in contact with the group of people that are doing the recall efforts. Now, if you live outside of Maricopa County and would like to help contribute towards that, you can do so monetarily and I could send you the link for that. Just go to theambermayshow.com, click the contact tab, and then I can get you the link for the monetary donation. So right now we have Senator Shamp. You, I have Senator Shamp with us joining today, and I'm excited to have you. Welcome to the program, Senator.
Thank you so very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's just been an honor to get to know you and realize how many people we have in common. It's just hilarious how many people we both know. I'm just like, wow, this is incredible. But I just appreciate your heart that you're putting into the Arizona State Capitol. And you know, you and others have been the difference maker on this session versus other sessions. However, I feel bad because you guys are coming in trying to do good for the people of Arizona. And you're just having the most difficult time getting anything passed. And you and I have something in common. We both had bills and they didn't work out. They didn't get passed. Mine died in one committee. It passed one committee and died in another. And then yours went all the way to the person occupying the governor's seat and vetoed that. So tell me about your bill that you just recently got vetoed.
So SB 1250 was my medical freedom bill. And as you know, we've discussed many times, the reason that I am a state senator is because I was a nurse that went from hero to zero in 2.2 seconds during the mandate for the experimental COVID-19 vaccine. So I came down here with every intentions of making sure that it never happened to anyone again. And through an incredible stakeholders process, the hospital associations, the chambers of commerce, we sat down, we had lots of conversations about how do we take the subjectivity out of religious freedoms, of medical mandates? How do we separate it and make it so that everyone operates under the same? Because there were some hospital systems that had no issues, others that let go of a bunch of nurses and healthcare providers. And so there was nothing that was consistent. So we realized very quickly that we needed something very consistent in statute that everyone could follow. And so that is where SB 1250 came from. And it came from the stakeholders process. There's been a few attempts at medical freedom bills down here at the Capitol in the last few years, and they've not made it as far, didn't make it to the governor's desk at all, didn't make it out of the individual chambers. So I'm very proud of the work that we did. I'm just very disappointed that the governor's office has decided that this legislation is unnecessary, or that those of us that don't believe in, for whatever reason, right, because we have that right, we have our religious freedoms, our personal beliefs or observances, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, the EEOC guidelines state that. And part of that is actually already in statute. And that's where this SB 1250 would have fit in. But unfortunately, those of us that declined and made that choice are now not part of, what did she say? Let's see, educated and healthy workforce. So essentially all of us that stood for our values, all of us that stood to protect ourselves from something that was not studied, we had, for whatever reasons, we decided individual liberty as Arizonans, we decided, now we're not educated and we're not healthy. And that's very frustrating. Very frustrating to me that when we're talking about protections, we're talking about protections for small businesses. Mm-hmm. And that was there. You have the federal government, you have the state government, then you have all of the citizens of Arizona. And that includes all of the businesses. And I believe it is our job at the state level to make sure that the federal government is not infringing mm-hmm. upon the rights of all of Arizonans. And that includes every business that operates in the state of Arizona, as well as every individual. And that's what this bill was for. And that's what it was designed to do. I mean, we can start talking about all the evidence that's coming out about the COVID-19 vaccination, mm-hmm. About the origins. I mean, there were so many things that are coming out now that we were lied to. And so to not turn back and look at what happened. I mean, how do we know where to go forward if we don't look for where we mm-hmm. came from? So moving forward, I believe that it's time that we get things ironed out so that it never happens again. Yeah, there should never be any subjectivity when it comes to protecting individual liberties.
I think she mentioned that your bill would hurt small business. And I'm just thinking, no, how would possibly someone's liberty hurt small business in any way? Because big business was allowed to stay open during COVID. It didn't matter. They were allowed to stay open. When she said that your bill was going to hurt small business, that is a downright lie, because there's no way that your bill was going to affect small business, because she's saying that she wanted to help small business. And I'm just thinking, no, I don't buy that at all. This bill threatens employers with a civil penalty and a hefty fine, which could be devastating for Arizona, many small businesses. Well, yeah, if they're going to impede on people's civil liberties, on their rights to their body, their choice, then they should be fined. Is an employer a medical professional to determine whether that A, B, or C, whatever, is going to be okay for your health? No, they're not a medical professional to say that this possibly could injure you as a person. And you know what we've found out from a lot of people taking that shot? A lot of people have been permanently injured. And it's really sad. You know, we look at the readiness of our military. And I was on I was listening to a show the other day, and a lot of our pilots aren't military ready because the shot has affected their health to where now they cannot just fly. And so, yeah, let's dive into some of the things that we have learned as we've gone through the last 2 years.
Right. One of the populations that I'm the most worried about are our junior high and high school kids mm-hmm. that are going to be going out for sports, and they have been vaccinated and they have undiagnosed myocarditis. Mm-hmm. That scares me a lot. You know, when we talk back to the governor's letter talking about small businesses, I believe it's because she's worried about the civil penalty and the fine. And the goal with that section of SB 1250 was to make sure that the individual has the right to be able to utilize the attorney general that is paid for by tax dollars for the state of Arizona, right? So that attorney should be working. And so there, the way law works, it has to be a part of it. And, it, you know, I think we've all learned over the course of the last few years, you can't have statutes without penalty. Because otherwise it's so what are you going to do to me?
Right.
And exactly. So there has to be, but we also are a right to work state. So if a business does not, if you do not want to get vaccinated as an employee and a business does not want to keep you, then they have that right. But what was lacking with COVID is that we didn't have a right to ask for any kind of exceptions. We didn't have a right to ask for any kind of, which is federal law. I mean, the governor's office stated that. That's true. That is federal law, but that did not protect us during COVID. It did not protect Arizonans. It didn't protect people like myself. And you know, I'm not down here for me. I'm down here so this doesn't happen again to other people. Right? Mm-hmm. So
one thing I notice about what happened in 2020 with all the Band-Aids is they forced people's hands and people did it under duress. You either do this or you don't have a job. And that was across the board on so many industries. You either get it or you lose your job. And that really scared a lot of people. And people who might not have wanted to do it originally felt forced and compelled into having to do it. And they were watching their friends where their civil liberties, their religious rights to not want to get an abortal fetal cell injection inside of them didn't matter. It didn't matter that their religious beliefs told them that's not what we put in our bodies. And so they would constantly see their friends not get the exceptions like you're just talking about. Or, you know, some people just can't have the shots. This like an allergy reaction or just in general, like there's reasons why people can't. Not every medication works for everybody because everybody's body is different and reacts differently. And so you can't have a blanket statement that this is for everybody all the time, no matter what. It just doesn't work like that in medicine, ever.
Right. Ever. I have a constituent that was talking to me and was explaining to me that she's very healthy. She doesn't have a doctor. She doesn't go to the doctor. So she didn't have a family practice doctor. But she had had a reaction to vaccines in the past. And so she was, didn't want, she's, with her job, they said, you have to have a, you know, we're not going to accept a religious mandate, but we would accept a medical exemption, excuse me, not mandate, exemption. But she didn't have a doctor and it became such a political football. She couldn't get a doctor that would write that, you know, that letter for her because she didn't actively have a doctor and we're in a shortage. Like you can't just go get a family practice doctor. They're not taking new patients. They're so busy because we have such a shortage here. Mm-hmm. And so I think I saw a statistic that we're only at 75%. So it's, that's, yeah, that causes a real problem. And so there's so many different reasons why people had issues with that. And the fact that it's been proven that it didn't stop transmission, does not stop transmission, does not keep you from getting sick. It's actually proving to be the other way around. So you mean we completely wiped out an entire workforce?
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and in light of the recent events, your continued support means everything to myself and my employees. To thank you, we're having the biggest sale ever on all my pillow bedding. Get my pillow bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98. In this economy, instead of buying a new bed, rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. We also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles, like plush, waffle, or gossamer, for as low as $29.98. We even have pet blankets from small size to the ones for your car. Get huge discounts on duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call that number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding, including MyPillow bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. Get all your shopping in while quantities last. Please order now.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
These days, it's hard finding doctors you can trust, but look no further because now you can go to Dr. Meehan at MeehanMD.com for all your future healthcare needs. And while you're there, you might want to check out his supplements. He has some amazing supplements. For instance, the Optimal Defense, that is perfect for the cold and flu time of year. That helps support your immune system. And if you have like reoccurring issues that come up with your health, that might be a great supplement for you to try. You may also want to check out Immune Plus. It has herbs like echinacea and elderberry. And Immune Plus also contains medicinal mushrooms to help support the body's natural defenses. So if you're looking for a doctor you can trust, set up a telemed appointment with Dr. Meehan at MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER while you're there. Again, Meehan is spelled MeehanMD.com for all your telemed and supplemental needs. And remember, use promo code AMBER at checkout. You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Kick them out of the workforce, and now we have the proof that maybe this wasn't a good idea, but moving forward, we can't protect them. Well, it's very disappointing.
It is, and my spidey senses went up when they're saying that the hospitals are overwhelmed with patients, yet they were willing to let go of nurses and doctors. Like, it was fine. They had no problem getting rid of people like yourself, nurses and doctors who didn't want to take the shot. But then they're telling us on the other hand, oh, we're overwhelmed by patients. If you're overwhelmed by patients, then you probably really can't afford to lose one single nurse or doctor. So it was conflicting information. It either is or isn't. And if it is, then how do you justify getting rid of nurses and doctors when you absolutely need them if the hospitals are so overrun, like they said?
Well, see, what they were doing, though, is that they were letting go of the nurses and doctors, and so then they didn't have the staff. So their beds weren't actually full. Their beds were full that they had nurses for, or mm-hmm. that they had staff to take care of, right? So a little bit of a play with the wording with how it was put forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was it wasn't in Arizona, it was another state, but they were talking about how the morgues at the hospitals are full of patients. Well, an expose came out and they found that the morgue only had two beds in the hospital morgue. Well, one could argue that one motor vehicle accident would fill your morgue when you only have two beds, but they didn't state there was only two. But that fear, I mean, that they were pushing it so hard. And mm-hmm. so now I do believe that the time has come. I think the covers need to come off and we need to start really talking about what happened, because if we don't talk about what happened, we cannot prepare and make sure it doesn't happen again. And so the conversations are happening. I will never stop fighting this fight for medical freedom and for the exposure of what this pandemic created. I will not.
I hope that you hold on to your bill and reintroduce it next year. We don't know what's going to happen from now until next year. I mean, so much craziness has happened. We have a president that got indicted today for a crime that the prosecutor won't tell us the crime, that's violated statute of like time statute. And then we have judges like starting to like look at election integrity. I've been watching some of these news articles starting to look at election integrity. Just Carrie Lake won her last court case where now the lower courts are forced to look at the signatures. We mm-hmm. have no idea what's going to happen between now and next year. And it could be a totally dramatic change. It could be the same. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's always worth, again, because maybe you'll catch her in a really good mood if we still have the same lady in office next year. I don't know. But she came into office. There's articles written about her that she was so excited to veto. Like she was like showing off her veto stamp. So her legacy while she sits in office is going to be the governor that vetoed the most, the non-bipartisan governor, the governor who vetoed the most Republican votes in the history of the world. This is going to be her legacy because she has vetoed so many really good mm-hmm. bills, including your own. I know.
Well, and we have to make sure that we're talking. She's not just vetoing partisan line bills. She's vetoing bills that had support of the entire chamber on mm-hmm. both sides.
Right.
And so that doesn't make any sense. And she's and the letters are
but
everything
your
is just
bill
it's just unnecessary.
Was written by a Republican, even though it had support with both sides. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels very partisan the way she's voting, even though she's not looking at it like, oh, these other bills had sponsors from like both sides of that. She's not looking at that. I don't think so, because every good bill that's gone to her desk, veto, veto, veto. It's very frustrating. It's frustrating for me, and I'm a constituent, and I didn't even write your bill, but I did write a bill, and I was nervous because I knew she was going to probably veto my bill too, except another fellow Republican killed it in committee, but we are going to reintroduce it next year.
Good.
And you know what? I'd like you to go into just a little bit, just a few minutes of what it goes into writing a bill, because it's so much more than I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill. You know, there's
ABC
so much,
Schoolhouse Rock.
Yes, there's so much that goes into it. And I bet maybe you didn't know. I know I didn't know up until I wrote a bill, all the things that go on to it. So if you can give our viewers a little bit of information on how much work does it take to get to where you were, and why is it so defeating, especially after all the work you got to make it to the governor's desk?
Yes, it is a lot of work. Yes. So, you know, it starts out with an idea, whether it's because constituents have come to you or it's you have been out in the community, however the idea comes to you as a legislator, then you sit with policy staff and you say, okay, so this is what I would like to accomplish with this bill. And then it gets drafted by legislative council, which is some lawyers that are completely nonpartisan. And once you have it drafted, then you start to look at it and have stakeholder meetings, people that are going to be involved in the process. You know, there's people usually on both sides of an issue. And so one of the things that I'm the most proud of as a freshman coming down here is respecting the stakeholder process and respecting everyone comes to the table with their own mindset and their own reasons for why it's good or it's bad. And everyone, I believe, wants to come together for the best thing for Arizonans. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of have a different idea of how to get there. And that's what the stakeholder process was for me, is having people in the room that are affected by what I want to do, whether positive or negatively or just perceived. And so then how can we still accomplish the same thing, but make it so that it's not so offensive to some, right? And mm-hmm. So the stakeholder process gets going, then you go to committee, and chairman needs to agree to hear it in the committee that it gets assigned to. And then you give testimony, you have others give testimony, people weigh in from the public, and you get it passed out of committee. It goes to the floor for a vote, which you're constantly working on talking to people, explaining the bill to them so they understand it, so they'll vote for it. And once it is voted and it passes in one chamber, then it's during switch week, it goes to the other side. Then you go through the process all over again. You go to get assigned to a committee, chairman puts it on the agenda, you testify for your bill. Then if it passes, it goes to the floor and then to the governor's desk. So I am extremely proud of the work I did mm-hmm. as a freshman to get a medical freedom bill to the governor's desk. I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of all of the people that came together. The hospital associations and the chambers were wonderful. And everyone loves Arizona. Everyone wants to see Arizona succeed. Everyone looks back and goes, yeah, we see it. And so it was really a wonderful culmination of all of that, SB 1250, the final product when it was voted on. So it's a process, and although we didn't get across the finish line, I won't quit until I do. I'll do it again next year.
Doesn't it feel so good when you get the win as your bill proceeds? Like when I made it past the Judiciary Committee, I felt like $1 million. I was so proud that my bill passed committee, because it could die in committee just like my bill did. It ended up dying in the second committee. A chairman could say, I'm not going to hear it, I'm going to hold it, you know, and then your bill's dead and no one gets to hear it. So didn't it feel super awesome with all the wins that you were getting first in committee and then through the chamber and then the other side? I mean, didn't that feel amazing to you?
Mm-hmm. I was proud, very proud. Yeah, very
You
proud of the
should
work
be.
that was done. Yeah. And it was a team effort, right? It's not just me, you know, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I was able to come in as a, you know, a I'm an unknown, right? This is all new. And as a political outsider to come in and sit down at a table and bring some people together that so we can hash it out and come up with the best way that we can move forward out of, which everyone admits, a horrible last 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's time to move forward. And everyone's ready to move forward, you know, and the hospitals associations, they were neutral on it, which is huge down here. And we're very much fine with the bill being signed into law. And so it's a little disappointing that the governor's office didn't see it the same.
It's very disappointing because you were trying to protect all of our rights as people to be able to say no if we don't want a medical intervention. And I think your bill is super, super important, really important. I think it even backed up more like HIPAA stuff, you know, where you don't have to tell your employer all your medical history and stuff like that. You don't have to disclose that to them. It's mm-hmm. none of their business. That no one needs to get to know your medical freedom, your medical information. That's a private thing. I think you were strengthening the HIPAA laws personally. That when I was looking at it, that's what I kind of felt like. You were strengthening that. You were strengthening my civil liberties, my rights, my religious beliefs, that I don't want to board a fetal cell tissue in my body. Or, you know, there's a lot of different animal products that are in a lot of vaccines that violate people's religious rights. There's cow parts that some people can't have that, or pig parts, and some people can't have that. And so I think you were instilling rights into other people where their religious beliefs say, no, you can't put this in your body. And okay. So your bill was wonderful. And so okay. I'm really, really disappointed that it didn't get signed into law. So I do hope you will try next year.
Now, oh, yeah.
You touched on wanting to kind of expose all the stuff that's happened. Do you have a mechanism in place that you were thinking of how you're going to talk about COVID over the last 2 years?
Yes, I do. I do. We are currently putting together a committee, and it will be a joint congressional and state legislature committee to hear the evidence and to have the discussion about what was done and the truth that's coming out.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program, at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
Hey, this is Dr. John Diamond from America Unhinged. You are watching The Amber May Show.
It's because of a mutual friend of ours that I was actually connected with you. Michael, the artist, the commander's artist, he's a friend of yours, and he's done some work for you. He's designed the logos on this show. And the commander's artist, he's a great guy, isn't he? He speaks very highly of you.
Now, Michael is a terrific American patriot. And if anybody, I hope that you will promote his website and him. He does the artwork that he does, very, very patriotic. And one of my sort of big you know, big things with Michael is Michael came into my life through this political persecution journey that my family and I went through. And he stepped up in a big way to help us raise some money for our legal defense. And Michael and I have become very good friends, and he's a terrific, faithful man, and I love him.
Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And also, I think one of the biggest things for me that I'm the most excited about is the public will have an opportunity to air their grievances with their elected officials. Oh, the public will have the opportunity to come in and say, you're never going to believe what they did to me. You're never going to believe what they did to my spouse. You're never going to believe what they did to my daughter. So that part, because I'm a nurse that believes that everyone should be able to know everything. Informed consent is such a big deal in my world. Mm-hmm. And the fact that so many people didn't get good informed consent for whatever reason. Well, all those reasons, I want them on the record. We need them on the record. Mm-hmm. In order to heal, we need this to move forward. And so I think that's probably one of the parts that's the most exciting. But Arizona's deserve answers and accountability. And it's time that we, the government, does it.
And also, patients' rights were extremely violated. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing in your world as a nurse, is having patient rights. If you don't want a procedure, you have the right to decline that. No one can force that on you. I mean, the list goes on and on. And mm-hmm. so there was a lot of patient rights that were being violated. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge thing. You know, people talked about the Geneva Convention and how there was rules in place on how experiments would be done and how people's medical freedoms or medical rights would be done. And people talk about all the time, the Geneva Convention was just
thrown out the window. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I talk about when the big scare first happened right before the shutdown, you know, every patient that I come in contact with their airway, because they're intubated in the operating room. And so we were right there. And one of the first things that happened is infection control policies and procedures that we follow because of state or federal accreditation surveys, where they come in and inspect us and how we do things. One of them is in the operating room. When you're wearing a mask in one room, as soon as you go to exit the operating room, you have to take that mask off because it is technically contaminated from being in the operating room. And of course, that went out the window. And then, there's more. We're going to give you a brown paper sack, and you're going to put that mask in that brown paper sack. And you're going to keep it in your locker, and you're going to use that one every time. And so I'm like, wait, what about all the, what about JCO and DMV okay. I call foul. That's a foul. And then when nurses were not allowed to talk about getting good sleep and vitamins and eating healthy and getting out in the sun and watching your BMI, then we're getting censored on social media for that. So that was when I threw the red flag on the field. I'm like, there's something really bad happening. Mm-hmm. And so now the evidence is coming out that something really bad was happening. And mm-hmm. it's time to get that, all of the information on the record. Let's look at the timeline. Let's look at what happened. And then let's focus on policy that we, recommendations that we can make for policy so that Arizona protects Arizonans mm-hmm. moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately the biggest thing. And you're right. Patient rights come first. There are patients who have, they have specific beliefs that won't allow them to have a body part removed. And we respect that, even though by not doing it, they may have a chance of not healing at all, or it taking an incredibly long time, or being debilitating, but that's the person's right. Mm-hmm. And as long as I walk this earth, I will fight for that right for people. And yep. this is no different. So we need the information on the record, and then we need to make sure that we have the policies in place so that everyone's protected.
Your job as a medical professional is to give good advice, and then it's up to the patient whether they're going to accept that advice or not. No one can force anyone to do anything. And as far as like that's concerned, you've done your job. If you've told them this is the best course of action, and if you don't do this, this could happen, and they still choose not to do that, well, you've done everything you can do within your power.
Right, right. And we don't get to hide behind it's a public health emergency to take away people's rights, because that's absolutely, that's the Geneva Convention, Nuremberg. I mean, all of that. You can't do that. And they did it. And we didn't get it stopped. And so I say, and I challenge everyone, that should be our number one focus, is never letting this happen again.
Right. I agree. And I love the fact that you're going to set up a conventional, a congressional slash legislative hearing. I think that's wonderful, because you're right. People do need that opportunity. I know I spoke in committee last year for the Health and Human Services Committee when it was about visiting patients or lack thereof. And it felt so healing to be able to tell my state legislators, listen, this bill is important. This is why it's important. This is how this public health emergency crisis affected me in a negative way, and how I couldn't say no goodbye to loved ones, and calling my state legislator when I couldn't even step my toe into the hospital to see a dying friend. You know, there's a healing aspect that you're telling someone in a place of authority, hey, you have to fix this, or this is how I felt. Try to do your best to fix it. There's something very cathartic about it. Because I have personal experience last session and even this session. So bravo for coming up with this idea. And I assume more details will come along as you guys have more things finalized, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, ma'am. That looks to be 5 congressional members, 3 state legislators, and an incredible panel and presenters. And then, of course, we are absolutely going to invite the public to come and to testify and to hear the truth. And I think we all know the truth will set us free.
Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that are also really important that you're trying to accomplish? Or was that the most important thing you're trying to accomplish? Or what do you see going on in the state legislature that maybe we the people don't know, and maybe we should know a little bit about?
So, you know, we have some great legislation down here, and we've had some great legislation get vetoed, and that's unfortunate. But my two biggest would be medical freedom and then born alive. I think that every life deserves a chance at life, right? Mm-hmm. When a baby is born, I don't believe that they should be cast aside because they're not going to have any kind of quantity of life. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm all about quality. I am. But it's the decision that gets made to not put that baby's life first is really disheartening and disgusting, actually. I mean, neglect, death by neglect to me is murder.
Mm-hmm.
And so this bill would just enforce the fact that even comfort care is considered care.
Right.
And every baby deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
So those are my top two. I have quite a few other bills that are constituent. Actually, all of my bills are constituent driven. People have come to me and said, this is an issue. And oh my gosh, you know what? You're right. This is an issue. And I will say this. I have said so many times, I can't believe we have to write a bill for this.
I know. I've heard that too. Like when I was in committee, I told some of the state legislators, I'm like, I am really sorry that you had to write a bill about this. You would think it'd be common sense, or it'd be like just a normal thing that everyone just does anyways. But our society has really shifted. And unfortunately, things that in the past you never had to write laws for, now it's like, well, you got to do it. And I was kind of dumbfounded, especially last session with some of the things I was hearing. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. But that's where we're living at these days.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I'm very fortunate and blessed to have such a strong caucus down here in the Senate and the House, and both of the chambers actually together, right? great relationships, and we are all fighting for freedom. We're all fighting for the protection of rights, whether it's property rights, medical rights, and freedoms. And this legislative session, there's a lot of people have said to me that it's extremely different to see the unitedness of mm-hmm. our party and yep. the fierceness with which we're fighting for the freedoms of the people and to protect the republic we live in. Mm-hmm. It's not a democracy. This is a republic, and it's ours if we can keep it, right?
Right.
Benjamin Franklin was the president of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, when he was talking about, we've created a republic if you can keep it. And so I am proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with my fellows to fight to keep it.
I will say this, out of all the legislative sessions that I've ever been a part of, which hasn't been an exuberant amount, but this group of legislators is some of the best that we've had in a long time. Really, really. And you're included in that. I mean, I am so honored to know you. I am so honored to know your fellow freshmen. I am so honored to know some of the more senior legislators that are there, because I feel for the first time in a really long time that it is more rights focused. What is best for the people of Arizona? Mm-hmm. And I think the group that we have down there have put their political differences aside. Like, for instance, like you don't care. You're not seeing it through Republican, Democrat. You're seeing it through we the people lens. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that about you. And there's many other that you're surrounded by that are seeing it that, because I think the worst thing you could do when you become a state legislator, you put this mantle on you. And this mantle says, I am going to do the best I can for all the constituents that I represent. Mm-hmm. And what I find that we need to do is leave that DNR at the door, because you have Democrats that you have to look at, and independents and Republicans. Mm-hmm. And so our lens of focus shouldn't be, I'm just going to do everything party line. It should be, is this a good bill for the people? Yep. And is it constitutional? And if they are both the answer to yes, then you move forward with that bill. Mm-hmm. Not, oh, well, my political party says I have to vote no on it. That's not the right way to do this job. This job should be, does it help the most amount of people? And is it constitutional? Does it further protect the people's rights? Mm-hmm. And when we have legislators like that, then the world changes, because we will have people who are there for the people, by the people, not what we've been dealing with garbage for so long, that it's all this uniparty political crap. That needs to go.
I agree.
Down at the Capitol, when I've been in committee, I have seen legislators straight down party line, even though it was a good bill and it helped the most amount of people and it was very constitutional. They didn't care. And that is shameful, very shameful. Some people in the state legislature, again, party driven, wouldn't show up to hearings. Well, how are you supposed to represent your constituents if you don't show up to a hearing? You need to be showing up to these hearings, because your constituents expect you there to listen, to be a part of, to give their opinions during these hearings. If you don't show up, then what good did you do? You didn't do any good.
No.
This is why your job as a legislator is so important, because you're putting this mantle on that's so different than any other mantle. Your branch is the most powerful branch in all of government, because your branch directly represents the people.
Yep.
And I hope more legislators and more people who want to run for office will understand that, because right now the group that we have, for the majority of the group down there, are great, just great. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be more proud to be supporting, as a precinct committeeman, all of you. And then, you know, my show is a servant show. I just want to help people get the information out however I can do it. That's my goal in the show, because we've had just too much false media narratives, and I can't deal with that anymore.
Agreed. It's an honor to be here for a couple of different reasons. You know, it's an honor to represent the people of Arizona, but it's also an honor to walk these halls and to stand shoulder to shoulder with some of these incredible people down here, and from both parties. there's some incredible people down here that truly want what's best. Mm-hmm. I was a travel nurse for 7 years, and people used to ask me, why are you a travel nurse? Don't you hate being like the new kid at school all the time? As a matter of fact, I do. I don't like that at all. However, the only way I had found that I wouldn't get involved in politics of the hospital was if I was a traveler. I showed up, I took care of my patients, and I went home. So I always used to joke, I don't do politics. That's why I'm a traveler. And now here I am, I'm an Arizona State Senator. And it's like, how did I get here? I don't do politics. But you know what? I think that's what's making me so good at what I do, because it's not about politics for me. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And mm-hmm. It is that black and white for me. It is that simple for me. If it does the most for the most amount of people, it does the best, then that's what we should focus on. And it shouldn't matter. And you can see that when you look at my voting record, there's been some Democrat bills that we've had, and absolutely I supported them because they were good legislation. And that's what it's about.
That's what it's about. And when I sat in committee, and this is why I encourage the regular everyday citizens like myself, go down to committee. Because if you go down to committee and you see what's happening in committee, you can hold legislators accountable if they're not doing right by the people as a whole. If they're not voting based on if it's good for the most amount of people and if it's constitutional, then you need to, or they don't show up to hearings, you need to call them and hold them responsible. See, right. If we can go down to the Capitol more often and see what's really going on, A, we learn more about how bills become laws. And then like yourself, we can request to speak and go stand in front and tell the committee, hey, this is why this bill is really great. This is how it affected me personally. Or this is why you should not vote on this. It gives us a better opportunity to get more involved and more active, because we've sat on the sidelines of being a people for so long. And it's turned into, we got a bunch of people that took over our nation because we were so busy taking care of our family that we didn't put the effort into really looking at our local communities, our local governments, our city councils, our school boards, our state legislators. And now look what we've had. Just right. It's been a run of a muck of a country where a president is being indicted for a crime that the prosecutor won't really disclose. I mean, it's just incredible where we're at as a nation. But like General Flynn said, and I see his picture right behind you, local action creates national impact. And what you're doing, Senator Shamp, is creating local action, which will have a ripple effect on the nation. And we can be that shining light for the rest of the states.
That's what I hope to be. I hope that Arizona is the tip of the spear and that we can lead through this. So that is my goal. And that is what I strive to every day, is to lead for the protections of the people of Arizona.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today, Senator. I appreciate you carving time out of your busy schedule to come on my program and share with us things that you're working on in the state legislature, in the state capitol. You're welcome back on my show anytime. And if people want to get a hold of you, how do they reach you?
I think the best way to reach me is to reach out to my office down here at the Capitol, or to send me an email to jshamp@azleg.gov. That's another great way to get a hold of me. So I encourage everyone to reach out, any questions, comments, concerns, and I will definitely be back. Thank you so much for having me. And I will keep you apprised as to how the joint congressional state legislator committee is coming along. And when we get some confirmations that we can share, we'll definitely get those to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. You do the same.
So do you like to start your day off with a cup of coffee? What if I told you you could get a cup of coffee that not only helps rejuvenate your mind, get you going in the morning, but it could reduce stress? What would you say? Well, I have just the solution for you. I have the Java Boost right here. It's delicious. It's the most creamy, delicious vanilla coffee that is infused with antioxidants from muscadine, ginger, and turmeric. It eliminates cravings, it helps support healthy blood chemistry, and it promotes healthy weight loss. When have you ever heard of a coffee that helps promote healthy weight loss? So if you want a coffee that's delicious, creamy, vanilla, helps reduce stress and fatigue, and helps promote healthy weight loss, then you want to grab Java Boost for yourself. And the easiest way to do that is going to cupahealth.com. That's cupahealth.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout.